Perfect Stranglers contains graphic and explicit content suitable for mature listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Perfect Stranglers. This is Kylie.
And I'm Bree.
And we have so much to discuss.
We really do.
There's been a lot of, I posted on the gram this morning that we were recording and that we're going to be discussing Britney Spears, Taylor Swift, and Adele.
Nice.
Because all of the things need to be discussed. It's a really good time to be an angry pop fan.
Yes. And this, it definitely goes in with our like story episode for today. And it's like for sure like a pop culture episode.
Yeah, 100%. First, let's talk about Britney Spears. She no longer has a conservatorship. She's like literally Britney is freed.
That's amazing.
That's
huge. We've been waiting for this.
That's huge. I've been watching her Instagram posts and she seems a little off the rails in her Instagram posts. And I don't know if that's just because she's like, I'm going to do whatever I want. But I just want to take my fingers and wipe the black out from underneath her eyes. Her eye makeup.
Yeah.
She seems, you know what? She seems a little bit unhinged, but at the same time, if I went through all that, I'd probably be a little unhinged as well. So,
right.
Like, can't blame her. You know, we've all been there. We've all been there.
I mean, she's doing better than 2007 Britney, so.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And her fiance is hot as fuck.
Really?
He is so fine. I think his name is Sam something. He is like...
I have to look that up.
He is tall, dark, and handsome. And... Okay, Bree's Googling a picture. I encourage all of you to Google a picture of Britney Spears' fiance. I don't know his last name. But he is a hot piece.
Dang.
I know!
He's got like some smoldering good looks.
He reminds me...
Yeah, and he's, like, tall, and he looks Latin or Italian or something.
He is 27. She's 39. What he does for a living, he's a personal trainer. I bet he is.
Wow.
Oh, he is so hot. He is the typical, like, smoldering looking. He is what exactly is stereotypically hot.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
He looks like all of the hot boys you see on TikTok without the tattoos.
Yeah.
He's fine.
That's a good catch, Britt.
He is fine as fuck. She's been with him for quite some time, too.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He has thighs. All right. Moving on.
Choke a bear.
Yeah. I'd let him crush my head. Okay. Moving on from B. Spears to Taylor Swift. Okay, in case y'all don't know, Taylor Swift released her new album, not new album, but new to Taylor because she's re-recording all of her music. Red is the name of the album she re-released, and there's a song in it called All Too Well. She alluded when that first came out that there was a 10-minute version. She recorded this 10-minute version. She came into like, I know way too much about this. Okay. She came into a recording or a rehearsal. She wasn't fun to be around. And she just grabbed a mic and started just singing this song. And it went on for like 10 or 15 minutes. Luckily, her producer actually recorded it after her mom was like, did you record all that? So under the original album, she released like a 4 or 5 minute version. This time she released a 10-minute version. And it came with a music video, a short film, actually. And it is about her 3-month relationship she had with Jake Gyllenhaal, and listening to it and watching the video, he seems like a toxic gaslighting piece of shit, which I could kind of see. A lot of ups and downs. He didn't come to her 21st birthday, and she was like staring at the door waiting him for to come in, and her dad was like watching her stare at the door, basically watching this man break her daughter's heart. And I guess it was like one of those relationships that was hot and heavy and fast in the beginning, and it like felt like it was everything and then completely crushed.
I don't know. I don't know why, but that's what I expect out of Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, yeah. And for those of you that don't know why Taylor Swift is re-recording her albums, there's this guy named Scooter Braun who basically bought all of her music. And when I say bought all of her music, he bought the master recordings. And I'm not really sure why he was able to do it. I didn't look too much into that. But there's two types of copyrights you get when you record music. There's the composition, which is the actual written music, and the sheet music, like the words in the sheet music. Taylor Swift writes every single one of her songs. So she owns all of those. So because she owns all of the music, she is able to re-record those albums and re-release them. So if you listen to Taylor's version as opposed to the original version, Scooter doesn't get money. Taylor gets the money for it. So if you ever listen to Taylor Swift, listen to the Taylor's version of it. And she's slowly re-releasing all of her old albums so that she owns them in full, which I think is pretty badass.
That's cool. Hopefully, like, the radio stations and stuff will play only her stuff.
I know. I hope so. Because, yeah, he owns the radio. Basically, he owns the radio versions of everything, but he doesn't own the music. He just owns the recording.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool. And then we're going to move on to Adele. Adele's whole album that comes out on November 19th is all about divorce. And I am here for that. Oh my god, Adele is just, she is so beautiful. Like, she seems like such a fun person to hang out with.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I bet
she seems really down to earth.
Yes.
And funny.
Yes. I would love to hang out with Adele and Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
like, that would be a good time to me. But yeah, she's actually, there's going to be like a special where she does an interview with Oprah and she sings new music from her album along with old music on CBS, and I am stoked for that.
Nice.
Because I just,
you know, it'd be really cool. I just, so okay, this is embarrassing.
Okay,
but I'm gonna tell you guys, I was during when I work, I put on stuff in the background, and sometimes I really get seasonal about it, and I was I looked up on YouTube that I was trying to find like old episodes of Martha Stewart Living, like from like Christmas time. And I found this like Martha Stewart like Christmas special where they had like people like they had Cyndi Lauper and like Tony Bennett and stuff, God, like singing like in between her little like crafting sessions or whatever.
Yeah.
It would be so cool to have like an Adele, like Taylor Swift, like, you know, whoever else, like,
yeah,
Christmas special.
Oh, that would be fun.
I love it.
Where they craft with Martha Stewart and make food. Oh my god. I just I bet that would be so fun. That would be so fun. Who else would we invite to the party? I think first Harry Styles would be really fun. I love me some Harry Styles.
Post Malone.
Oh, yes. Post Malone. I bet Post Malone and Adele would be like the odd couple pairing that is just so much. There's so much magic happening there.
Right.
God.
Like,
okay.
Snoop and Martha.
Yes. So Snoop, Martha, Harry Styles, Post Malone, Adele, and Taylor Swift. Honestly, yes, nothing could go wrong. And even if something goes wrong, it would be hilarious.
We got to pitch it. We got to pitch this
for,
to somebody.
Like, for real. I would love that so much. Harry Styles is the epitome of the female gaze. I don't know if you guys, do you know what the female gaze is?
No.
Okay. The best way I can describe this is, if we all know who Chris Hemsworth is, Thor. He's strong. All of the pictures of him are strong. He's in like, he's shirtless. He's like buff. He's just like, he is what a man thinks that women think is attractive regarding like personality and muscles, all of that stuff. So that is the male gaze. And a lot of movies and stuff are directed in the male gaze where they're like, okay, women are going to love this.
But you're saying gaze, G-A-Z-E.
Yeah. Not gaze.
Not
the gaze.
The gaze.
Not the gaze, but gaze. Like female look, female gaze. And
okay, yeah.
Not the gaze. So that is the male gaze of where it's, yeah, it's what a man thinks a woman finds attractive. And he is attractive, but he's like eye candy, good to look at. What a woman thinks is attractive is more along the lines of Harry Styles, Loki, almost, where they're attractive, they're good looking, but they're also in touch with their feminine side. They're compassionate, they're empathetic, they can empathize with you and they understand a woman's point of view, and they're not intimidatingly hot where it's like, whoa, hold on.
Exactly.
You're like,
yeah,
you're,
they're more attainable.
They're more attainable, I guess. But they also have a softer personality, not like a meathead personality. Mm-hmm. If that, I know that's stereotypical, but like, yeah, that. And Harry Styles for me is like the female gaze.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. I love it. And there's also, sorry, I'm going to go on a tangent. There's also things like the female gaze in movies where men direct it to think that women want to see a shirtless man like being all buff and like walking around. And yeah, that's hot. But one of the things is like hand placement, like how they move their hands or how they smirk or showing like the side of their neck, even though they're fully clothed, like small things like that. Or in yes. Loki, when Loki was down on his knees and he had like the thing around his neck, like that's so soft and subtle, but that is something women find attractive to like submitting mm-hmm. almost.
I've never seen that movie, yeah. But yeah.
So that's the female gaze. And I'm living for it right now. That's all.
I've never heard that term before.
Yeah. Look it up. I encourage you because you'll find a lot of things that are attractive. All right. Should we get to housekeeping quick so we can jump into this episode?
Yeah.
Okay. I can hit it. Hit it.
Okay.
Okay. Hi, Stranglers. Thank you so much for listening every week. We truly appreciate you. And we would very much appreciate if you would go to Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Go ahead and follow us and interact with us. Instagram is @perfect_stranglers. Facebook is @perfectstranglers, a true crime podcast. Twitter is @perfstranglers. And yeah, like, comment, save, share, do all of the things because that really helps everyone else see our posts. Also go to Apple Podcasts if you're listening on an Apple device or a Mac device, I guess. And do we say Mac or Apple? Apple. Anyway.
Apple.
And give us a 5-star rating.
It's not called Macintosh anymore.
Oh, yeah. I'm so dumb. You can listen, you have a Macintosh phone? Android users would call it Red Delicious. Anyway, so go ahead and give us a 5-star rating, leave us a review, and follow us on Spotify. And that's that on that. Back to you, Brie.
All right. Well, going with our pop culture theme, we're going to talk today about Astroworld, the Astroworld Festival, the tragedies that happened there, and sprinkled in are a couple of other concert tragedies, accidents, things like that. So it's been in the news a lot recently.
I do want to say we're recording this on November 13th.
Right. So the Astroworld Festival, if you don't know, is a rap music festival founded in 2018 by a 30-year-old rapper, Travis Scott, whose name is not Travis Scott. His name is Jacques Webster. And he is...
Oh, yeah. Stormy Webster. Wait, no, it's... Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's Stormy. Okay, that makes sense.
Yes. He goes by the stage name of Travis Scott, so... I don't understand either. You want to pick a boringer name? Okay. He's a Houston, Texas native, and in 2018, his album called Astroworld pretty much put him on the map. So the Astroworld Festival that he founded in Houston, Texas, is on the former site of the Six Flags Astroworld. It's called like NRG Park or something now. And it's just used as like a venue now. Last year in 2020, it was canceled due to COVID. But the year before, in 2019, they had some problems at the festival. 3 people in 2019 were trampled and hospitalized as thousands of fans tried to rush to get in the show, but it went on as scheduled. So... Sounds like a lot of the same, except for it was worse this year. I also want to point out that Travis Scott has a history, besides the 2019 festival where people were trampled, he has a history of encouraging bad and unsafe behavior at his shows. In August of 2015 at Lollapalooza in Chicago, he encouraged fans to jump over barricades and lead a chant of "We want rage," and he was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct for that. So then 2 years later, in 2015, in Fayetteville, Arkansas, he encouraged fans to join him on stage and pleaded guilty to disorderly conduct in connection with that incident. And then later that year, he had another incident in later in 2017 in New York City. He encouraged fans to jump off of a balcony, and one man fell or was pushed off of the balcony. And Travis Scott was sued for that. So, yeah, you would think that he would have learned his lesson, but unfortunately not.
I'm surprised that Kylie Jenner is still with him.
Me too.
Because, like, I say what you want about that family. Like, they're famous for being famous or whatever, but mm-hmm. really that's not truly the case anymore. They are actually really good businesswomen. They solidified the path for people to succeed in social media, yeah. basically social media marketing, that type of thing. Like, they're very smart, and I am surprised that she is still with him, and I don't think she'll be with him for very much longer. I know she's pregnant with his baby right now,
which is probably partially why she's staying, because we'll like do you want to break up with your baby daddy while you're pregnant? Okay, so let's talk about the promotion of this year's AstroWorld Festival. In May, a promotional video was released via Instagram showing the craziness and rowdiness that transpired at the 2019 festival, where a couple of people were trampled and hospitalized. The video consisted of a montage mm-hmm. of video clips from the news and also from cell phone videos showing fans rushing the gate and, like, news reports of people being trampled. So it's like they actually, like, glorified and seemingly encouraged this type of behavior, like, right from the get-go, from the promo. And the video seemed to imply that the festival was treacherous or dangerous and seemingly embraced that identity, kind of like a "we dare you to come" type of an attitude. And so after AstroWorld 2019, Travis Scott posted a similar video similar to the promotion from this year, with all the craziness and stuff, and the mm-hmm. caption said, "Thanks to everyone who pulled up to rage." So they were, like, okay with this. So this year, at AstroWorld, the trouble started early on Friday, November 5th, 2021. A whole bunch of people rushed through a VIP entrance at the event, and they were just, like, they just were running through, knocking over metal detectors. People ran past, like, two or three police on horseback. There's a video of this, along with most of the other events that I'll be describing to you. So, you know, I'm wondering if the venue was overcrowded because people that didn't have tickets rushed in. I know that at least 23 people were cited for trespassing, so maybe. Also, if they weren't going through the metal detectors, maybe. Weren't going through security with bag checks and stuff, like, who knows what they brought in to the concert. So that also makes it unsafe. And Houston Police Chief Troy Finner spoke with Travis Scott, who was he wasn't the event organizer, but he was an event organizer and obviously the headliner. He talked to him before his set to express to him his concerns about the energy in the crowd. But nothing came of that, obviously, because he went on stage. So sometime before 9 p.m. Central Time, a 30-minute countdown timer started on stage, counting down until Travis Scott would take the stage. And this was the start of things getting really bad, because as the clock ticked down, the crowd got more and more compressed and difficult to maneuver. People were pressing towards the front, trying to get in a good spot to see Travis Scott perform. And many people have posted their accounts of what it was like from their perspective in the crowd. And I want to read that Nicole had sent us that Reddit of somebody who was there. I want to read that because it's a really good firsthand perspective.
And there's a lot of videos. There's actually a lot of videos on TikTok of people with firsthand accounts, and a lot of the EMTs and stuff have come out to say what their experience was as well. And it's very scary. There's a specific girl who has a really long running, like she has like 3 or 4 different TikToks, and I think they're like quite lengthy too, about what it was like being in the crowd. And yeah, it's scary. Like I've been to a lot of concerts and a lot of metal concerts down on the floor. And if someone falls, you pick them back up. Like that's that is code. What you do. And I've been to a few concerts where the shows have been stopped to pick people up. And it's very easy to stop a concert. Because if you stop the music, people will stop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's, if you stop the music, people stop. And that's all you have to do. And the artist says stop. And people listen because they're there to see you. It's not hard. This is a very odd thing for someone to not stop a concert, actually. Because people from all genres, I've seen pop, hip-hop, R&B, country, metal, all of that stuff. You can see numerous accounts of all of these genres stopping a concert because someone even got hurt.
Even a few days afterwards, Cat Williams, the comedian, was on stage and somebody passed out or was having a seizure or something, and he stopped his comedy act and mentioned, he's like, we don't need anything like Astroworld, so we're stopping right now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so this is the firsthand account from somebody who was there. It says, today is November 5th, 2021. It's a Friday. Who I am in this story is not important. Rather, it is important the things that I have now witnessed. Astroworld, Houston, Texas. Travis Scott is the only one performing. I don't know why, or I don't know how many people were there at the festival, but I do know that every single person was at that stage. My friend and I wanted to be close to the stage, as close as we could possibly get. We were not able to get very close, but we did end up on the side near the walkway in the middle. Surrounding us were chest-high metal gates, barriers. We stood there for 2 hours, as did every other person. Every gap was filled. Where your feet were placed was where they stayed. Energy rose as the time neared, beginning the show. Within the first 30 seconds of the first song, people began to drown in other people. There were so many people, tall men, women and men were the only thing that you could see was the back of the person in front of them. The rush of people became tighter and tighter. Breathing became something only a few people were capable of. The rest were crushed or unable to breathe in the thick, hot air. My friend began to gasp for breath, and she told me we needed to get out. We tried. There was nowhere to go. The shoving got harder and harder. If somebody's hands had been up, it was no longer a possibility to put them down. So people began to choke one another as the mass swayed. It became more and more violent. We began to scream for help. We could see security, just a few people over in the walkway in the middle. It got tighter, impossible to breathe as our lungs were compressed between the bodies of those surrounding us. More people began to scream for help surrounding us. The music continued. Hundreds of people ripped their vocal cords apart, screaming for help, but we were not heard. There was nowhere to go. My friend was trapped between people on every side of her, and she desperately tried to move towards the rail. It was no use. The screaming intensified as people realized that they could not breathe. We begged security to help us, for the performer to see us and to know something was wrong. None of that came. We continued to drown. More and more. One person fell or collapsed. It doesn't matter how it started. Once one fell, a hole opened in the ground, and it was like watching a Jenga tower topple. Person after person were sucked down. You could not guess from which direction the shove of hundreds of people would come next. You are at the mercy of the wave. I watched my friend be dragged away from me, and I lost sight of her. I began to realize in that moment that there is a way to die that not many people know about, being trampled to death. I saw in horror every eye that I met, even the ones that told me to breathe and stay calm. We knew that there was a very big chance that some of us would not make it out alive. I was pushed away from the rail into the crowd of people where I could hear from another direction the shrieks of animals. It was happening all around me, these sinkholes of people. I was moved back towards the sinkhole and I started stared at and was pushed to the edge of it. I sunk my feet into the ground and put my arms out and tried to stop anyone from entering the circle or trying or push those already in it. I was shoved further to the ground, my face at the cold, hard plastic below us, and saw the body of a man, his face below mine. I lost it. There were people below the ones that I could see from above. There was a floor of bodies of men and women below, two layers of fallen people above them. I began to shriek. I felt a primal terror rip through me, and I'm not sure anyone understood the magnitude of the situation below. I screamed that there were people on the floor. There were people, unconscious, being trampled by every foot that slammed into the ground as each individual tried to keep themselves upright. I saw his face. I became a shield for him. I think he smiled at me. Then I was shoved to the side. I saw more shoes slammed to the ground, exactly in the spot his body lay, face up. I couldn't help him. I couldn't help any of them. I didn't stop screaming the entire time. No one knew that there were people below those and that they could see. I almost met the same fate. I was losing balance and I asked a man to grab me. He pulled me up and I righted myself for just a fraction of a second before I was sucked back down into the crowd. I couldn't take what I saw. I had to get out. I had to get help. I had to do something. Somehow, I went toward the back of the crowd at the guardrail. A man pulled me over it. There were so many people just standing there, like nothing was happening. Like people weren't dead a few feet away from them. I saw a cameraman, eyes glued to the stage, elevated on a platform that looked directly into the crowd. I climbed the ladder and I pointed to the hole, telling him people were dying. He told me to get off the platform and he continued filming. I screamed over and over again. He wouldn't even look in the direction, so I pushed the camera and pointed it towards where I had just come from. He became angry and he called someone else up. I told him the same thing. People were dying. We needed to stop the music. We needed help because we needed attention towards the mass, because I thought if only these people were aware, maybe they could do something. The other man grabbed my arm and told me he would push me off the 15-foot platform with no sides if I didn't get down. I told him to help. I told him people were dying. I showed him where. He wouldn't look in the direction either. I was in disbelief. Here were two people that could actually do something. He had the power to do something. Cut the camera. Call in backup. Pause something. They did nothing. I looked over at the sinkhole. People were screaming, reaching their hands out towards me, calling for help. I couldn't see the floor. The strangest thing happened to me in that moment. People began to boo me. They pointed their fury at me and unleashed a rage. I screamed people were dying over and over, and no one would listen. Somehow I ended up on the ladder going back down mindlessly. I should have ripped that camera to shreds. I looked the other guard in the eyes and told him that he was responsible for countless deaths. He did nothing. I went under the platform and called 911. The only thing that they said was that they were calling the medical team in. I told the operator over and over that we needed to stop the concert because we just needed a pause. We needed light. We needed awareness of the deaths. Nothing. A kid watched me under the platform, watched me break down in tears, explaining how I saw people crushed, stomped on, unconscious. He went to the operator. He watched the operator say, "Nothing of use to me." I went out not sure what to do. Suddenly, two men in red medical shirts, looking confused and lost, bumped into me. I explained everything, and they told me that they had gone in and saw nothing. Two girls that were in the pit with me were standing beside me, heard that, and helped explain that it was there. We led him to it. We led them to it. They climbed the metal gates and through the people. Those were the only ones working that were brave that night. I had endless respect for these two men. We waited, the two girls and I, and watched people being thrown over the railing, people trying to escape the cage that we had been in. I'm not sure if that was the lady, the girl that was on the video, or if that was another girl that climbed up to talk to the camera people, but that sounds horrifying, and I hate it.
Okay, so as you were reading that, an article actually popped up on Yahoo, because I go to Yahoo, and it's just, it's a thing. Anyway, so, because yesterday there was an interview on CBS Morning News with, who was it? Houston Fire Chief Samuel Pena. He said that absolutely he should have halted his show. But Scott's spokesperson and former Baltimore mayor came to his defense Friday, telling CBS Morning News, the notion that Travis has the ability to stop the concert is ludicrous. She said they have a 59-page operations plan, and it clearly says the only two people that have the authority to stop the concert were executive producer and the concert producer. He was not responsible for this, but he wants to be responsible for the solution. He's paying for the funeral expenses for everyone who has passed, and he's paying for 1 month of therapy for people involved in this. And I'm like, 1 month of therapy, so four sessions. The first two sessions you're establishing like your life and what's going on. The next two sessions you barely tip, like you flick the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, it's not, it's gonna take more than a month.
Exactly. So I'll also, I'm calling bullshit on that. He has he has the microphone. Everyone is hanging on his every word. He has the microphone. Yeah. You can stop the concert.
And you know what? Yeah. If like how you said that there's like only two people that can stop or whatever, if that was really the case and if he really cared about his fans, then he would deal with the legal repercussions of stopping it himself.
Exactly. You act first, apologize later.
Right.
Like, what are they going to do? Sorry, producer, people were dying. And I guess he stopped the concert once to let an ambulance go through, but then he resumed and played until like 10:15 p.m.
Yep, he did. He did. Finally, at about 9:30, officials had first received reports of injuries. I mean, if they had listened, they would have received these reports earlier. So they received reports of injuries in the crowd and requested additional resources to the scene. And the producers of the event were immediately notified by officials that people in the crowd were going down. As soon as they started to realize the magnitude of everything, they declared a mass casualty event. But they still didn't stop the show.
That is unreal to me.
Yeah, there is a video that probably a lot of you have seen. One of the young men that were there, his name was Franco Pitino, and there's this video where Travis Scott is singing as his lifeless body is carried out below. Like, it's very unsettling.
I just don't understand. How do you see that and be okay with it? He went to an after party afterwards, and once they told him what exactly happened, I guess he left the after party.
Yeah.
How? I'm sorry.
At Dave and Buster's.
Like, really?
Yeah. Drake hosted an after party at Dave and Buster's.
And fuck Drake. I'm sorry. I don't like Drake. I have never liked Drake, and now that I know what type of person he is, based on everything that's came out about him in the last couple of years, like, fuck Drake. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Also, people were chanting, stop the show, like, loudly underneath Travis Scott. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, Travis Scott did stop for a few seconds while the emergency vehicle in the form of a golf cart with flashing lights was trying to make it through the crowd. People were climbing on top of this and hanging on to it.
Yep.
Like,
I saw that.
What the fuck? So at like 10:10, 10:15, That's when the show finally stopped. So this went on for, God, 40 minutes or more of people just being crushed and passing out and being cardiac arrest, you know.
This sounds just awful.
Yeah.
Just, I cannot, people don't think about being crushed alive. Mm-hmm. It's not a death that we think about often.
It's not, but we also just saw a man last year be crushed to death and have cardiac arrest. And I'm talking about George Floyd. Like,
yep.
Like, this is not something that's, like, has never happened before that we don't, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And his attorney, George Floyd and Trayvon Martin's attorney, so they had the same attorney, I believe. He is representing, I think, 90 people from this tragedy.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So Travis Scott maintains that he did not realize the severity of what was going on in the crowd of 50,000 plus people. Also, this was an all ages show, my dude. Like, there were kids there.
I know. I there was a horrible story I read, and I don't want to say it because I'm going to cry if I read it. Say it again. But a few things. One, this should not have been all ages. So no. I think hip hop especially has a really young fan base.
Yes.
Compared to a lot of other fan bases. Like, you're not going to get this at an Ariana Grande concert or a Doja Cat concert. You know what I mean? Like, or an Adele concert. You're not going to get this happening. Hip hop has a really young fan base, even compared to metal. Like,
oh yeah,
it just is. And I think that, especially after this, I think when there's general admission, I don't think general admission should be a thing. I come from like the school of thought that there should be seats.
Yeah,
there truly should be seats at all concerts. I don't care what you got to do. There should not be an open area. There should be assigned seats.
Yeah.
Like, I firmly believe that.
Yeah. So among the many lawsuits that Travis Scott and everybody responsible is receiving is one for a 9-year-old boy who is in a medically induced coma after being trampled. He's fighting for his life due to severe brain, kidney, and liver trauma. So 9 years old. Like,
was he the one that died? So I know one of them died that was in, so the death toll is now 9. I know one of them died in the hospital like a day or two ago. Was that him? Because his dad, that's the one I was talking about. His dad passed out. And so then his dad passed out. And then there was just this 9-year-old like not knowing what the fuck to do because his dad was down. I know. Like, that's terrible. Think of Everly and like what she would do. That's terrifying.
Yeah. So the NRG Park where the event was held only has a $26 million insurance policy. According to the Certificate of Liability Insurance, which is filed within the city of Houston and was obtained by TMZ. So, like, okay, this is dumb, but, like, for legal stuff, I kind of trust TMZ because Harvey Levin is a lawyer.
Yeah.
So, with 8 dead and more than 300 injured, it's estimated that the damages could go into the hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's possible that they have other coverage in addition, but that's all that the press has covered so far. They also uncovered something to where, like, the Live Nation, I think, is the outfit that was, like, selling the tickets.
Promoter.
The promoter, yeah. And they had a, like a liability warning, something like that, on their webpage that says, like, you know, not responsible for, like, death or injury or whatever. But it's, like, it's not airtight because it's not, like, prominent. Like, you can't, it's like a fine print type of situation, and it's not in, I think something, was it something about the Texas law or something, that it has to be written in a way that's not a bunch of legal jargon that, like, an average person could understand it. Also, not everyone bought their tickets from that website. Some bought them, like, you know, from people, from, like, StubHub, where they didn't have that. So that's not going to hold water. I saw this yesterday. There were people, there were security, either security officers or police officers that were pointing their phones at the stage, like recording, like after it had already been radioed that like there was problems. Like they were like not paying attention and they were just like there like enjoying the concert instead of like doing their job. So hopefully they get fired.
This is unreal.
And held responsible. Yeah. So there were also reports of a demonic hell-like feeling to the Travis Scott show. Mm-hmm. There's a conspiracy theory that's been shown a lot on TikTok. Their evidence of this conspiracy theory is that the theme of the show was called See You on the Other Side. And Travis Scott wore a shirt that had people on it walking through a door and coming out with horns on. There were a lot of flame pyrotechnics. And they said that maybe it's like Illuminati related, that people who died were like ritualistic sacrifices to the devil. Mm. Like Travis Scott made a deal with the devil to become famous. And also as like the chaos was transpiring in the crowd, they said that he seemed for a moment to be like in a trance and like chanting using the eerie like auto-tune mic thing.
Yeah.
So, interesting theory. Interesting observations.
It definitely seems like a pit of hell, not having enough oxygen. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like not having enough oxygen. You can't, someone said when your arms were up, you literally could not put them down because there was so many people. Like, yeah, this would be a personal hell for pretty much anyone.
Yeah.
So, like, I get it.
Definitely. Yeah. And so, I don't want to read the whole post, but I just want to mention a post that said, like, you know, this could happen at any show, like any genre. There was an event where the singer, I forget his name, the singer of Lamb of God, pushed a fan off the stage backwards, and he died. The fan died, and he was charged with, like, manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the person who wrote the post was mentioning that they have been in mosh pits where skinheads were there with fishing line and fishing hooks, like just hooking people and stuff. And like, I mean, so basically it was like, don't say that it's like the rap genre that's specifically, it's like, it's the performer. Is what it is, because they said that, like, you don't want to, like, make a blanket statement, because they could easily turn into, if you saying, like, that it's, like, rap concerts are dangerous or whatever, that it could easily become a black and white thing, and we just don't even need that.
Yeah, because so. It's not, because people who like one genre of music like a lot of genres of music, mm-hmm. like, you know, that's just how it is. So it's definitely not that, it is the performer.
It's and the what performer.
What they encourage their audience, whoever is in the audience, what they encourage that to do.
Yeah, for sure. When I first heard about the tragedies and stampeding crowd at Astroworld, what immediately came to mind, because I like old ass music, mm-hmm. and I watch like those old like countdown shows from like VH1 and stuff, and I saw this mm-hmm. on. It was like 100 most shocking moments in rock history or something like that. And mm-hmm. it was the Who concert in Cincinnati in 1979 is immediately what came to mind. So what happened there was, it was December 3rd, 1979. It was the biggest concert to hit Cincinnati in years. And it was held at the Cincinnati Coliseum. It was a little over 1,800 people. 18,000, excuse me. The show was sold out and all the tickets were festival seating, meaning no assigned seats. It was all general admission, first come, first served. The show was set to start at 8 p.m. and a local radio station had announced that the doors would be opening by 3 p.m. So by 5 p.m., a crowd of about 7,000 people were outside the doors waiting. So by 7 p.m., all these fans had showed up, and they were standing outside the doors, which were locked, and They wouldn't.
Wait, so they were supposed to open them at 3 and they didn't open them until 7?
Yeah, I don't know if that was like actually the plan or like if their plan changed or whatever, but like the radio station, like that's what they had announced. Okay. And so they're all standing waiting outside these doors, and you know, it was set to start in an hour, and they would not open the doors until the Who was done with their sound checks, which is, that's kind of uncommon for sound checks to be that late, but they were running late.
Yeah.
And I mean, they should have came out and like with a megaphone or something and be like, everything's running late, like, you know, but
yeah,
they didn't. So people near the doors heard the sound checks and they thought that the concert had started. Mm-hmm. And so they started pushing and crushing people, and it was hard to get air. And by like 7:30, they had started to open the doors. They opened 4 doors only. And so thousands of fans like all tried to push through these 4 doors. And one woman who was there remembers being pushed and tripping and falling, and people were walking on top of her. So for over like 20 minutes, the stampede of people continued, and all in all, 11 people died and 26 were injured. And the concert went on because the band, The Who, and most of the audience didn't know what was happening outside because they were in.
Yeah.
So they didn't know, and nobody told the band until after the show. And as a result of this, the city of Cincinnati bans festival seating, with few exceptions, for the next 25 years until they repealed it in 2004, while also having other safety requirements, such as there needs to be enough room for each person to have 9 square feet of room. So they repealed it because they wanted to get bigger acts and make more money and stuff, but they've also made more stringent, like, safety rules.
Yeah.
With that. So.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is, like, a big thing in the news right now, and it's gonna really hit Travis Scott where it hurts, and I'm thinking, like, his career is pretty much over.
I hope that his career and Drake's career is over.
Yeah.
Like, I really do. Because that's unacceptable. And I just... He could have stopped it. Like, he could have stopped it.
And he did. He should have, like, ended it.
Yeah, he should have ended it. He stopped it too late when he saw that golf cart ambulance, whatever, coming in.
Yeah, and you know what he did? That was so... Do you know what he did right after that? When he stopped it for, like, momentarily? Mm-hmm. He was like, come on, everybody, jump, and let's make the ground shake. So, like, how are you going to see who's hurt and whatever? Like, creating more rowdiness and whatever. Like,
exactly. And people are being trampled, so now we're going to jump on the people being trampled.
Yeah, exactly.
He knew what he was doing.
What a dumbass. He knew what he was doing. I don't want to, like, accuse him of anything, but I'm gonna.
But at a certain point, like, you know what's going on.
But
you
know, I think,
what you see.
I think he might have been fucked up a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
And, like, for sure. Like, not, you know, like, I don't know, what, Zans or something? I'm not sure. But, like, whatever rappers these days, whatever their drug of choice is, lean or... I don't know what they do these days. Yeah. But, you know... I think he might have been a little fucked up and just not aware of the surroundings. So, like, I do believe that he didn't know fully what was going on, but it was also his fault that he didn't know what was going on.
Right. And I just, you can look in front of you and see that how, like, hard people are squished, and you can see the terror on people's faces.
Yeah.
You have eyes. You can see what's going on.
Yeah.
People were screaming at you.
Right. It's, like, called situational awareness.
Exactly. And he just probably fucked up or just didn't care or a mix of both.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, thank you for the rundown on that absolute fucking tragic piece of information.
Yeah.
I have no words for it. I just makes me not want to go to a general admission concert.
Yeah.
Assigned seating for life over here.
For sure. I want my space.
You know? Exactly. I want my space. I want to be able to sit down when there's a slow song happening. Like, I don't know. That's just the way I am. I don't need to rage anymore. I am 31.
I know. I went to the, it was Green Day, Weezer, and Fall Out Boy. And I went there, and it was at the Twins Stadium in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. So it was like, you know, there were seats like you were at a baseball game. Yeah. It was nice.
Yeah.
We were with other, you know, 30-something, 40-somethings.
Exactly. I went to Asking Alexandria in A Day to Remember, and there was an area for a pit, and then there were seats. And I was like, give me the seats. I want a seat. Yeah. I want to sit there and watch everything happen, but I also want my space and a place to put my drink.
There was an emo show last night in La Crosse. It was Red Jumpsuit Apparatus was here.
Really?
Yeah, at the Cavalier.
Holy shit.
I didn't go, but I saw people's snaps of it. Looked like a good time.
Wow. I forgot about them.
Right?
Wow. All right. Well, you guys, thank you so much for listening to this. And if you have any comments, feel free to let us know when this episode drops. Drop them in the comments. Let us know your thoughts. And we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Bye, everyone.